Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
So on this Sunday before July 4th, I was looking back over what I've done in the past. And last year, I landed on Jeremiah 6, and I thought, that's a good one. I came back at the passage and a little bit differently than I did last year, but Jeremiah was a prophet and a priest who wrote about 600 years before Christ, and he wrote to Israel, who had been given every opportunity by God. God had shown them how to live. He'd given them the Ten Commandments. He'd given them a covenant that they were to abide by. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because at every point, Israel, who had been given every privilege, every opportunity, they had turned their back on the Lord. The best image of that is right when they got the Ten Commandments. You remember when Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and when he comes back down, what are they doing? They built a golden calf. They thought he was up there too long, and they're dancing around and worshiping this golden idol. And that is kind of a symbol of Israel, and maybe a symbol of America. What idols, what gods are we dancing around that are less than the God who made us? And so Jeremiah weeps because his people know better, and yet they refuse to listen. They refuse to follow. They refuse to give their hearts to the Lord. So I want us, just as we're about to come to the table to receive Christ into us, the bread and the cup, reminding us of his sacrifice, I want us just to look at this passage in Jeremiah 6, 16 to 19. I'll read it, and then we'll kind of go through it line by line. This is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. The appointed watchman over you said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear you nations, you are witnesses. Observe what will happen to them. Hear you earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and they have rejected my laws. And so the first slide here is that first phrase, stand at the crossroads and look. And I think that's what we need to be doing today. When I think of crossroads, I think of an intersection of two or more roads. It's a crossroads is where decisions are made. Crossroads are turning points for us sometimes. It's at crossroads that we begin to see ourselves and our situation, maybe in a new light. My image of a crossroad is that there's movement. Kind of like if you're standing at the traffic circle and the cars are moving this way and that way, and there's movement. Or you can think of the internet, where all these ideas are coming and going, and we're standing there and we're watching the world as it's coming and going. Now, this means that if you're going to stand at the crossroads, it means that you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. I don't naturally go to the crossroads. I'd rather go to my backyard and watch the hummingbirds that we are now getting, because Mona has put out a hummingbird feeder, and they actually showed up. You know, I'm kind of watching. I made it. Mona's in North Carolina visiting the kids, and our first hummingbird came to our feeder, and I made a video of it and sent it to her. I'd rather like sit in the backyard. I don't necessarily want to go to the crossroads, because the crossroads are loud and maybe confusing and messy, but the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. And so for me, standing at the crossroads means this week I had the opportunity to go to Hope Ministries in Sandyville. It's actually a Ravenswood address, but they were here to talk to us about the program, Brian McClure. It's a one-year program where people commit to getting their lives back on track because after being addicted to drugs. And it's real focused on God and real focused on faith. And every morning at 7 a.m., they have someone come in and do a devotion. And so they called me up this week, and they needed someone to come. And I was there at 7 a.m. And there was a guy there who just got out of prison. And he educated us all on prison life. I had no idea. I mean, he needed to talk about that. There was a guy there that was just kind of living on the street and was homeless, and he's educating us on what it's like to live on the street and how desperate you can feel and what it's like not to know where you're going to get your next meal or how you're going to get the drug that you need so badly that you can't think of anything else. And then another guy who talked to the other people across the room and said, yeah, I've been there too. I've been in prison, but God came into my life and I am different and I am changed and there's hope. And I feel like when I do that, I'm standing at the crossroads. I'm just listening to things that are outside my experience, and I'm just listening and I'm learning. And tomorrow night I'll go to Harmony Ridge, and I'm doing I get called in to do the Bible study out there. That's a 30-day rehab program, and every time I'm there, it's anywhere from 8 to 15 people that are in a 30-day program, and they've all hit bottom, and they're talking about wanting to get back to their families and to their children and wanting to get clean again, and they talk about their lives. And so for me, standing at the crossroads, it means getting out and being around other people. For you, it can mean just going to the mall or going to the city park and being around other people at a concert. Jesus didn't say, go into your churches and wait for my return. What did he say? I want you to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize as you go, and lo, I'll be with you as you stand at the crossroads and look. Another way that I stand at the crossroads and look is just by reading, watching good television that informs me, and reading. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal this week called America Pulls Back from Values That Once Defined It. The article began, right now, according to the poll, Americans think money is more value than country or faith. And the article had these statistics: 39% of Americans say religious faith is important to them. That's down from 62% 20 years ago. So that's a 20% drop in 20 years of people who say religion and faith is important to them. Stand at the crossroads and look. Where are we? Recently on Jeopardy, there was a question: Our Father in heaven, blank be your name. And all three of the people on panelists who are like smarter than I'll ever be weren't able to answer that. I'm thinking, how could anybody live in America and not like have some idea of the Lord's Prayer? And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, we're in a different world. People don't do church. People don't do the Bible. They've never heard the Lord's Prayer. That's why they don't get it on Jeopardy. And it's like you wake up. Another statistic in the article is that 38% say country and patriotism is important. That's down from 70% 20 years ago. That's like almost a 40% drop of people who say country, my country is important to me. Does that surprise you? After there just seems to be people running down the country and suggesting that America is intrinsically bad instead of a flawed country that is self-corrected over the years. And we're still trying to figure out those things that we don't get right as a country, but we're not set, we're not static. We don't remain with the bad ideas. We're a country that can grow and get better, and we have. The world's gotten so much better since I was born on issues related to how we treat other people and racism. We've made progress, and yet there are people who say we've made no progress and we're still as bad as we were at the beginning and getting worse. And so that's seeped into the national psyche, and so fewer and fewer people say that country is important and patriotism is important. And then the article went on to say the share of Americans having children, being involved in community, and who believe that hard work, all of that has fallen drastically. So having children, that's not seen as important now. Being involved in your community, the importance of that has fallen. And the idea that you should get out and work hard, I don't know about you, but that was instilled in me by my family. I don't remember my parents sat me down and said, listen, if you get out there and you work hard, you're going to do better. I just watched their lives, and I watched them going out and doing their jobs, and then I had things I needed to do I was called to do and work. And so it was out there. But now Americans say, you know, there may be other ways for you to live. There's probably a subsidy or a grant or something that you can get. And you don't need to work. And that's a real change, huge change in how we used to see. One other thing that came out in this Wall Street Journal article is that one other area has dropped about 30% in 4 years, and that's the issue of tolerance. We are now less tolerant of one another, meaning if you come out with something that I don't agree with, you know what? I'm not even going to listen to you. In fact, I'm going to give it right back in your face because I don't listen to people like you because you are a, and we're off. Have you heard that? Have you been online? Have you kind of put something out there? And that's a huge change. Because it used to be someone would come out with something, and man, we would really disagree with it, but we wouldn't blow them out of the water. We'd just say, listen, I really, really disagree with you, and I think you're wrong there, but I'll pray for you or something. We are less tolerant today, and that doesn't bode well for our future. If we can't even tolerate those people who think differently, how do we, being many, one, how does that even work? How is that going to work unless some of us go out with a tolerant attitude? The other thing is I stand at the crossroads and look. A New York Times article that I read said that the people 50 and older living alone is the fastest growing group in America, 36% today. It was only about 13% in 1960. We are living alone. More than half of Americans are lonely, according to a 2021 poll, which also said that young adults are twice as likely to report feeling alone than people 65 and older. So we live in a divided and angry country, increasingly living alone, less tolerant of one another. People are wondering if life is even worth living. We're doing drugs to escape life, or we're taking our life to check out because we're done. Do Christians have something to say as we stand at the crossroads of America in 2023? Do we have a message of hope to people who have given up, who feel alone, who feel that no one cares for them, who are being bullied online and at school and think that there is nobody who cares for them? Do we have a ministry? Can we have an impact on Parkersburg, on the Mid-Ohio Valley? The answer is yes. Yes, we do. And by the way, young people have checked out of church. There's a kind of an exodus. You don't see a lot of young people in churches. But guess what? Study after study is showing, yeah, they may have stopped coming to church, but they very much want to talk about spiritual things. In fact, their desire to talk about spiritual things has gone way up. Yeah, they're not into institutional church. They may be if they find out there's not a lot of crazy people in there, but they very much want to talk about the spirit world, because that's been edited out of their reality. It's been taken out. And they really do want to talk about whether or not there's a God or not. What kind of a God is there out there, if there's a God at all? And so as you see a young person and you maybe write them off that they want nothing to do with God, they want to talk about it. They don't want you to tell them what you believe. They don't want you to give the answer, but they want to talk. And so ask questions. Say, where are you with that? What's your experience with that? Have you had a bad experience with Christians? Tell me about it. Did you ever go into a church? Yeah, I went into a church before, and they said this, and I never came back. Man, that's really unfortunate, because that's not what Christians should be about. I also think that our country's at a crossroads. Emmanuel is at a crossroads. We just did a study of our church, and hey, people, we have a loving church, but we're older. And if we don't open up, if we don't figure out ways to open up and connect with the community, Emmanuel will be no more. I like the image of the capital campaigns that we have done. The one we did back in 2008 was the entrance to the off the parking lot. Prior to this entrance, you parked in the back lot, and it was anyone's guess how to get in here. I mean, there just was no obvious entrance. And so we remedied that. You come off the parking lot into an actual entrance, come down that hallway, and guess what? There's an elevator that allows you to get to all parts of the building. That was a good move. We opened up the church and made it accessible. And we're about to redo the sanctuary, new pews, new carpet, and we're going to open up this front. This front is going to open up, and the stairs are going to come out and around. This front is going to come out about another 3 or so feet. It's not dramatic, but there is an image of opening up. We want to open up to the people that are out there. We have a ways to go, but the physical sometimes relates to the spiritual. How can we open the door of this church and this ministry to other people? How can we bring young people who want to talk about faith but may not be there? I can imagine kind of a panel of young people that are not even Christians who would be willing to come into our church, and we could ask them questions and say, you know, where are you? And what do you think about churches? What's your experience been with the Bible or with Christians? I think we'd learn a lot, you know. No, we're not bringing them here to convert them. Teach us. Help us understand, because we probably live in a different world than you, and we want to listen, and we want to learn. So we stand at the crossroads and look and learn. Second thing here from Jeremiah 6:16, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. Now, wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to go with what's new. In fact, I'm told now I can do my sermon. All I have to do is put the topic in. Is it GPT chat? Yeah, the AI. And give it the topic and it'll spit out. I have some friends that say, listen, quit writing your sermons. The computer will write it for you. Okay. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Christians are not, we're not looking for what's new. We're looking for what's true. Has God given us ancient words of wisdom that haven't changed? Yeah, what are those, by the way? There's 10 of them. How would this world change if people just looked at the Ten Commandments and thought about putting God first in everything, honoring his name, taking time away from work and resting, honoring your family, being honest, not coveting everything, but being content with what you have? Would that change? Would that change America? What if we went back to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and looked at his life, those ancient truths? They're good, aren't they? We're not looking for what's new. We're looking for what is true. And we're not only supposed to hear it, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to walk in it. We need to act on it. Jesus said, if you hear my words and you act on it, what does that do? That's like building a solid foundation. And when the storms come, you'll stand. You know? These ancient words and those good ways, it's being ridiculed in our culture. But listen, people who look for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is, you know what? They do real well on all the tests for mental health and all the issues with fear and anxiety, way down. If you don't connect to the ancient paths, if you don't ask where the good way is, you're just kind of making it up as you go. And it's confusing. And yeah, it leads to anxiety and fear because there's nobody who made you and there's nowhere where you're going. So just kind of live for today and go for it. We know there's more and we need to act on it. As I was thinking about walk in it, act on it, I thought about not too long ago, the road in front of my house was washing out and we had to hire this huge construction company to come in. Literally, they brought these big boulders in and they brought in piles and piles of dirt to rebuild the hillside so that the road would not go down. And this backhoe is right next to my driveway, and I always wanted to kind of create a way for a couple of cars to pull off my driveway into like a side place where they could park. And so the backhoe's there, and I go up to the backhoe operator, huge backhoe with that big shovel thing. And I said, man, could you dig out this little area for me? And he, I can hear the diesel and everything. He says, yeah. I go, and then I'm over there, and I'm walking around, and I'm looking. I'm thinking, well, I hadn't really thought it through. I didn't know if he was going to do it. I said, well, it could be, you could do it maybe here. And then I said, well, next thing I know, while I'm walking around like a chicken, this big shovel just goes down, and he starts to clear out this area. And I'm like, wait a minute. I never told you where to dig. What are you doing? He's like, he saw it. He knew exactly what needed to be done. And if this idiot wanted to walk around, try to tell him where to do, he just dug it out for me. And when he was done, I stood back and I said, that's perfect. And that kind of summarizes my life. I'm always kind of looking on the side thinking, well, I might do this or I could do that or maybe. And then I think sometimes God just says, quit analyzing it and do it. You know, and I just feel like with my faith sometimes I have opportunities to encounter people, and I I analyze whether or not maybe I might say too much, or if they've had a bad experience with church and Christians, I'm going to put them off. And I analyze it, and the moment's gone. And I wonder if sometimes we just need to act on our faith. You know, if you're talking to someone and you can tell they're down, tell them the difference that God has made in your life. And ask for the ancient past. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And the next slide, this is says, ask for the ancient path, ask where the good way is and walk in it. And what will we find? Rest for our souls. We are in a restless country because we've forgotten who made us, and we have forgotten the path that he gave us home. And so we're lost. We are lost and restless. I love St. Augustine. I've quoted it a million times. Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You know, I look at this world, it's falling apart. But the more I realize God's using everything going on. All hell breaks loose on the earth, but where's God? God's in heaven, and Jesus is bringing in the future. This world's not out of control. God is sovereign. He is moving his kingdom to this beautiful thing that we read about in Revelation of light and love and laughter. And yeah, it's crazy right now, but God is working it out. And I can rest in that. I get nervous. I get anxious. But you know, as I lean on the ancient past and I ask where the good way is, there's a restfulness in my soul. So a little bit later in July, we'll come back to the series on mental health. Because after COVID, the next pandemic that's hitting America is the mental health crisis. Anxiety, depression, self-harm, suicide, drug overdose, they're all at record highs. We're checking out right and left. And students especially are really, really struggling. So I'm actually going to have counselors and people who work in the mental health field, they're going to be with me here, like in a panel. And you're going to get to write down questions about mental health issues that you've thought about. And we're going to have people up here that are going to answer your questions here in real time. And we'll see how that goes. That's my idea. I've got a few people lined up that later in July are going to be here in kind of a panel format. And we're going to talk about it. If your life is restless and you're struggling with mental health, or someone in your family is, we're going to have some time for you to ask your questions and try to address them. And then finally here, Jeremiah 6:16. It's sobering because it relates to both ancient Israel and to modern America. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed a watchman over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to take you out because you've been unfaithful and you violated the covenant. But you said, we will not listen. In the end, what is all of our problems when it comes to God? Pride. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm not going to listen to God. That was the problem for Israel, and that's the problem for us today. This week, I thought about Titan and the Titanic. The Titan is the submersible, Stockton Rush, Ocean Gate. They had taken people down 1,700 feet in the ocean in this 22-foot submersible. Stockton Rush said, regulation stifles innovation. I'm not worried about safety. If you want to be safe, he said, don't get out of bed in the morning. If you want to be safe, don't even drive your car. Person after person came to Stockton Rush and said, your submersible has design flaws. Namely, it's made out of three different materials, carbon fiber, titanium, and plexiglass. And this, they interviewed this admiral in the Navy who had been 6 years under the ocean in a sub. In the Navy, and he said, I could look at this and know that when you have three different materials like that, they have three different molecular structures and coefficients, and when you go down to certain levels of pressure, they each expand and contract differently, so that over time, they're going to shift around where you have the different material. And he said, then the seal breaks, and you're done. He said, subs are made out of one material and no portholes. He said, I knew that submersible was going to fail. But they went to Stockton Rush. One of the engineers went to him and said, this is not working. You have not designed this right. And he fired him on the spot. He was thinking more about the adventure and not about the safety. Pride is what took those Stockton Rush and four of his people. And it's the same thing that took down the Titanic. You remember what the captain did? He took the Titanic. He got telegram after telegram saying there are ice fields. Slow down or reroute. And he said, all speed ahead. We're going to set an Atlantic speed record. And he ignored all of the warnings, and he sent the Titanic high speed into an ice field. Pride took down Titan, and pride took down the Titanic. And pride will take down you if you don't humble yourself. And so as we come to the table, I think the next slide, let's say this together. A lot of you know it by heart. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray. Father God, we want to stand at the crossroads this July 4th week. We want to look around us and realize the world has changed. We're not as focused on you. We're not as focused on country. And we really don't want to mess with people who differ than us. We're less tolerant. Father, you have given us a love for people. We want to stand at the crossroads and look. We want to ask where the ancient path is. We want to ask where the good way is. And we find that in Scripture. Help us to love it and feed on it. And Father, we know that we'll find rest for our souls when we begin living life the way you've called us to live. But Father, like Israel, we say, not interested. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to live life my own way. And so, Father, as we come to this table, the one thing that we are saying is, God, I don't want to live my own way. I want to live for you, and I want you to be inside me. I want you to guide me into the good life. And so, Father, speak to us as we sing now and as we come to the table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together two verses of our hymn, America the Beautiful, as we prepare our hearts for communion. Let's stand. You're welcome to come forward as we sing, and there'll be our deacon will be up front to talk to you as well. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.